What a match day four we've been treated to. On Tuesday, Pep Guardiola and Manchester City got their revenge over Barcelona.
Gundogan! Yes for Manchester City! They've scored again! And it's that man, İlkay Gundogan again! How they've turned this around!
Whilst in Eindhoven, Bayern qualified for the round of 16 thanks to their talismanic striker.
And from point blank range, Robert Lewandowski with his right foot steers it past Pazvir into the back of the net.
Then on Wednesday, Bayer Leverkusen stunned Spurs at Wembley.
Varinghi's going to get the shot away. It breaks to Kevin Campbell, and Bayer Leverkusen have taken the lead at Wembley Stadium. It's Kevin Campbell.
Leicester edged closer to the knockout stages with an important draw at Copenhagen. Elsewhere, there were match day four wins for Benfica, Atletico, Paris Saint-Germain, Arsenal, Monaco, Sevilla, Porto, Borussia Dortmund, while Legia and Real Madrid played out a 3-3 thriller. We'll hear from key players and head coaches, including Pep Guardiola, Carlo Ancelotti, Arsene Wenger and Dele Alli, as we analyse all of the action right here on UEFA Champions League Match Day Live. Hello, I'm Rob Daly. Alongside me, European football expert Paul Saffer. Paul, loads of goals, loads of drama, and lots of highlights.
There are. I mean, if we look at the Tuesday game, so much late drama and spectacular goals as well. We're going to come on. I mean, the goal of the week, though, on UEFA.com, which we started on soon as you listen to this. It's such a difficult choice. So many memorable ones and late drama, and four teams going through on Tuesday, and then on Wednesday just the one team going through, but some real surprise results and some memorable nights, certainly for Legia Warsaw and Bayer Leverkusen.
Certainly. Okay, let's go through all of match day four's results. On Tuesday in Group A, Ludogorets 2, Arsenal 3, Basel 1, Paris Saint-Germain 2. In Group B, Besiktas 1, Napoli 1, Benfica 1, Dinamo Kiev 0. Group C, Borussia Mönchengladbach 1, Celtic 1, Manchester City 3, Barcelona 1. Group D, Atletico 2, Rostov 1, PSV 1, Bayern 2. On to Wednesday, Group E, Monaco 3, CSKA Moscow 0, Spurs 0, Leverkusen 1 at Wembley. In Group F, Dortmund 1, Sporting 0, Legia 3, Real Madrid 3. Group G, Copenhagen 0, Leicester City 0, Porto 1, Club Brugge 0. And in Group H, Juve 1, Lyon 1, Sevilla 4, Dinamo Zagreb 0. Well, let's start our review of Tuesday's action with Barcelona's visit to Manchester City in Group C. This one was watched by Adam Summerton.
Neymar, left-hand edge of the area, looks for Lionel Messi, finds Lionel Messi, and he finds the bottom corner. How about that for a counter-attack? Incisive stuff from Barcelona, from one end of the pitch to the other, in the blink of an eye. It's the first sight of goal that Lionel Messi has had, and he scores. Well, there could be a chance here after saying that. Sterling, oh, they've equalised! It's Gundogan, a mistake at the back by Barcelona. The architects of their own downfall. Manchester City weren't threatening at all. It's Kevin De Bruyne looking at the ball and hitting it right-footed and scoring an absolute beauty. That's what he's capable of. And Manchester City have turned this around. Jesus Navas with the cross. Aguero, Gundogan! Yes for Manchester City. They've scored again. And it's that man, İlkay Gundogan again. He couldn't miss from all of 2 metres out. How they've turned this around.
Well, what drama and what a win for Manchester City, having lost 4-0 to Barcelona at the Camp Nou. Let's hear from their two goal scorers on the night, Kevin De Bruyne and İlkay Gundogan.
Yeah, obviously it was a big game for us. We know we were under pressure. And the beginning was difficult. We made a few mistakes, but I think the second half, very good. I think we deserved it. I don't think Barca created a lot of chances, and I think in the end we deserved the victory.
Yeah, we started a bit nervous, to be honest, especially the first 20-30 minutes. But after that, after our goal, which was really good, yeah, we won the self-confidence back, and yeah, the second half was incredible. I think we dominate Barca in the second half, had a few more chances to score, and I think the result is more than deserved.
Gundogan and De Bruyne speaking there. Paul, do you think Manchester City, with that result, have given themselves a chance now to actually win the group ahead of Barca?
Well, they've got the chance. They're only 2 points behind them. They're 3 points ahead of Mönchengladbach. If they're placed, they go to Mönchengladbach, and then they've got the home game against Manchester City. They'll probably be relying on Celtic doing them a favour because Barcelona are going to Celtic. You'd hope that Manchester City will hope that Barcelona will in fact lose that game because they've got the head-to-head advantage over City because of the margin of their 4-0 victory in Spain. But Manchester City have done their two jobs. A, they've got the Barcelona demon off their backs. They've had horrible forms of horrible defeat against them, and it always looking bad when Messi put them ahead after yet another defensive error. It looked very, very ominous indeed, but it was City that turned it around. It was City that did to Barcelona what Barcelona did to City in the game at Camp Nou and just took their chances when they came and punished errors. And as I say, they're only 2 points behind Barcelona, and having played Barcelona in the knockout stage, they know the problem of finishing second in the group. So if Celtic, can remember, have beaten Barcelona at home before, no matter what happened when Celtic went to Barcelona and how many goals they conceded then, there's a chance it could happen. There's a chance Manchester could get ahead of Barcelona and then would only need to beat Celtic to win the group. But job one, getting through, is almost done. Job two, finishing above Barcelona, it's still possible.
Certainly is. Of course, Manchester City were outplayed in the opening stage to that game and fell behind to Barcelona. But Pep Guardiola was delighted with his side's response.
The first 38 minutes, it was just one team, Barcelona. In that moment, we were out. If they scored the second goal, the game was absolutely over. Our goal helped us a lot in the second half. We play not good in terms of possession, on team that dominate the team, but against Barcelona it's almost impossible. But we defend compact and with Rush, with Navas, and especially with Kevin and Sergio, we make a good counterattack, and it was a pity we didn't finish the action. But today was so important for us to win for the 3 points, to make a good step forward to qualify for the next round.
Paul, do you think Barcelona will be concerned by the nature of the shift in that game, that Manchester City were able to completely turn it around and dominate for more than a half in the end?
Well, I think they'll be concerned because it's not the only time it's happened to them this season. They've not been as dominant as they like to be, really, in quite a lot of the games in the Liga as well. So that worried them. As I say, it was Manchester City beating them at their own game, really, with that possession passing football. Of course, you'd expect from a Pep Guardiola team. And the fact that they were able to get ahead and then really be turned around quickly, and the mistakes they made in defence as well, that's got to be a big concern, particularly with so many big domestic games coming up as well. It's not that long until they play Real Madrid, for example, where Real Madrid are certainly scoring goals at the moment from all different sorts of sources. So Barcelona couldn't afford to play out that. And then in the very, very close Liga race at the moment, of course, they'll be frustrated not to have got qualification completely sewed up. So they've still got to think about something when they go to Celtic, which, even if it's not a vintage Celtic team at the moment, it's a dangerous place to go, as Manchester City could tell you.
Yeah, they drew 3-3 there earlier in the season. So Celtic got a 1-1 draw with Gladbach on match day 4. A penalty from Moussa Dembélé into the final 14 minutes after Lars Stindl put them in front. Gladbach, disappointment for them, but Celtic boss Brendan Rodgers was pleased with his side. He felt they could have won it.
Pleased with the performance a little bit towards the end because we should finish. We could have had a better idea, I felt, when they went down to 10 men. You know, I think that we could have passed it a bit more. You got to open teams up a little bit more when they have to defend so deep. But that would have been the only criticism of the team, because over the course of the game, I thought they were outstanding.
Celtic are bottom of the group, 2 points. Gladbach third with 4. City have 7. Barcelona have 9. Barca go to Celtic next, and Gladbach host City. But you feel there's a missed opportunity there for Borussia Mönchengladbach. Okay, let's go to Group D. Our second feature match on Tuesday's show was PSV against Bayern. And despite going behind early on, Bayern secured their qualification into the round of 16.
Awaiting support, it's arriving from Arias, and a proper, and then on the rebound, Arias steers it into the back of the net. Bayern appeal for a flag that doesn't come. UEFA Champions League goal has given PSV the lead they desperately crave. Good opportunity this for Bayern. Lahm pulls it back, but it won't fall for a player in a black shirt. But the ball lifts off the hand of a PSV defender, and it will be a Bayern penalty kick. Guardado, the unlucky player. Lewandowski steps up right, but it sends the goalkeeper the wrong way, and it is PSV 1, Bayern München 1. Lewandowski with the equaliser. Alaba with the pass, who picks out Lewandowski, and from point blank range, Robert Lewandowski with his right foot steers it past Pazvir into the back of the net, and Bayern have come from behind to lead 2-1 at PSV. It could be a goal good enough to take them into the knockout stages.
And it was in the end. Bayern are into the knockout stages for the 14th season running. Robert Lewandowski scored twice. He could have had more. Let's hear from him and his coach, Carlo Ancelotti.
I'm very happy because we won today and we played well. So this is the most important thing. And I think so that for us today, we had only in our head just 3 points. And we do it, and now we are happy.
Second half was better. The first half we played a little bit slowly, but I think it was difficult to come back in the match after the first goal that we conceded. But at the end, I think the result was important, also the performance, because minutes by minutes we were better.
There's been some concern about Bayern, Paul Saffer, but they're top of the Bundesliga by 2 points and through to the next round of the UEFA Champions League. I'm sure Carlo Ancelotti can be pretty happy with things so far.
Particularly when Lewandowski's scoring, that's always good news for Bayern. One thing about their seasons under Guardiola is they tended to be very, very fast starters. They tended to have the Bundesliga won by about October and obviously be spectacular in the group stage. And then towards the end of the season, there'd be a bit of a dip and we'd often see them lose in the semi-finals. I'm wondering if Ancelotti, of course, knows how to win this competition, done it with more than one club. I'm wondering if he maybe will be pacing Bayern better this season. Of course, they've had their injuries so far this season, as all the Bundesliga teams, top Bundesliga, seem to have some reef, for whatever reason it is, seem to have had a lot of injuries. But I'm wondering if they could pace their season better. The only problem they, of course, have is they are behind Atletico, who are also through. They're going to need to beat them if they want to win the group and avoid some of the teams that look like winning the group here. Then again, if you look at some of the teams that are currently lying second in some of the groups, we even discussed the possibility that Barcelona might not win their
still
group.
Still going to get a tough draw.
Yeah, I think whatever happens this year, it might not make such a big difference for not you win or finish second as long as you get through, and they've done that.
Well, Bayern are second in the group because Atletico got a 2-1 win over Rostov. Anton Griezmann with two goals, the second one of those coming in the 93rd minute of the game, 3 minutes into added time. He was brilliant against Anton Griezmann, and he might just be firing them to another run to the final. Atletico top with 12, Bayern have 9. PSV and Rostov, 1 point each. They are really fighting now for a UEFA Europa League spot. Atletico host PSV next, Bayern go to Rostov. Okay, to Group A. How about this from Arsenal? 88th minute winner from Mesut Ozil. Absolutely brilliant individual goal. Arsenal had trailed 2-0 to Ludogorets before turning it around. And Wenger spoke about Ozil's winner, which clinched all 3 points in Bulgaria.
That's the strength of a great players, you know, and they make the right decision. I thought for a while he took too long to score, but at the end of the day, when they score, you have to say well done. I believe that we are consistent. We have 10 points after 4 games, so we have now an opportunity. We are qualified. Now we have an opportunity at home to finish top of a group. What we want to take against Paris Saint-Germain, it will be an interesting game.
Paul, do you think Arsenal are better equipped this year to go further in the UEFA Champions League? We've talked a lot about them finishing second in the group. Do you think they're a better team than they have been in the last 2 or 3 seasons?
Well, they're certainly playing better. I mean, it's not necessarily been huge changes in the team. It's been incremental change, but we're seeing individual players finding their form. Mm-hmm. Mesut Ozil, of course, got a great winner in Bulgaria, just as he got a hat-trick in the home win against them a couple of weeks earlier, and that's the reason why they're ahead of PSG and indeed through in the group. And Wolves have seen players like Walker, Oxlade-Chamberlain have better seasons than they have in the past, so you can be happy about that. In fact, if they win the group, of course, they've gone out in the last 16, I think, 6 years in a row. They've got through their groups. This will be the 17th year in a row, so that's no problem. That's never any problem. But what they've also done as well is quite often we've seen them start slowly in the group and then sort of come into it at the end and manage to get through. Last year was a particular radical example. They had an atrocious start with those first two defeats and still managed to get through. This time they've got through very comfortably. They've got winning the group in their own hands. They can maybe turn their mind a bit more to the Premier League, where they're very competitive this season, and maybe give themselves a chance of a winnable last 16 tie. And as we know, if you get into the quarterfinals, it's anybody's game. And Arsenal do look, I think we haven't really been able to talk about Arsenal as contenders, I'd say, in the last few years, even if they keep getting through the group. But maybe we could start talking at least as dark horses. They're clearly not in that top rank of teams. They're clearly a team that would be a danger for anyone, as Paris could already tell you.
and they won as well, Paris Saint-Germain, 2-1 winners against Basel. They had a late goal as well, Thomas Meunier's stunning volley, giving Paris Saint-Germain a win, which sees them level on 10 points with Arsenal. Both teams already into the next round of the competition because Basel and Ludogorets have 1 point each. Arsenal host Paris Saint-Germain on match day 5. You imagine that's a shootout to see who's going to win the group. On to Group B now. Besiktas 1, Napoli 1, Benfica 1, Dynamo Kiev 0. Paul, as things stand, three teams really, Dynamo Kiev only on 1 point, three teams fighting it out for two spots in the knockout stages. Who do you think's going to get them? Napoli on 7 points, Benfica on 7, and Besiktas on 6.
Well, Napoli are at home to Dynamo Kiev next, of course. Dynamo not mathematically out, but realistic, but they'll take an extraordinary series of results and an extraordinary series of performances that Dynamo have not shown they're capable of so far to get through. Napoli, on the other hand, of course, they had that great start, winning their first two games. They only picked up 1 point in these two games against Besiktas, very disappointing, and had to kind of get that late goal even to equalise. Another great goal from Hamsik, one of many great goals we've seen this week in UEFA Champions League. But I think they're still in control of the group. A win might get them through. It depends on the other result, but it will put them into a very strong position no matter what happens when they go to Benfica in the final game. The other game, Besiktas-Benfica, whoever win, obviously if Benfica win in Turkey, they'll put Besiktas out of contention. Besiktas really need to win. Because then Besiktas still have to go to Dynamo Kiev, so the fixture's not so bad for Besiktas either. It's very, very open between those three teams. Maybe Napoli was a slight edge at the moment.
Paul, I asked you, who's going through? And you don't know, do you?
Well, I've said probably Napoli, but as I say, I mean, I thought Napoli might be through. They could have gone through last time and they didn't. I didn't expect Besiktas to get 4 points against them.
No,
so.
Very true. Besiktas host Benfica next. Dynamo Kiev go to Napoli next on Match Day Live. Analysis and reaction from Wednesday's games.
Dizemos não ao racismo.
Nein zum Rassismus.
Nein til Rassismus.
Non au racisme.
Nein til Rassismus.
No al racismo.
Cristiano Ronaldo, Manuel Neuer, Zlatan Ibrahimovic, Vincent Kompany, Caroline Sagar and Lionel Messi are just a few of the European football stars saying no to racism. European football united against racism. Respect.
You're listening to UEFA Champions League Match Day Live.
Okay, on to our review of Wednesday's Match Day 4 action. We'll begin at Wembley Stadium. Tottenham Hotspur played by Bayer Leverkusen. Richard Kaufman was your commentator.
Eriksen over the halfway line. He's got plenty of players in support, but he goes for goal. Straight at Leno, who's able to palm it away. We've had a shot in the match. Brad's won it off Carl Walker. Inside the air. It breaks to Hernandez. Should have scored. Puts it wide. Back to Dani Alli. Edge of the air. Goes down looking for a free kick. Referee plays on. Eriksen, a whisker away with his right-footed shot. Good run by Carl Walker. He's got into the area. Carl Walker going all the way. Puts it just wide. It's a mistake at the back by Dyer. And maybe a chance for Memedy. Pulls it back to Hernandez. Great block. Hernandez again. Super save by Lloris. Campbell into the feet of Arangis. He's going to get the shot away. It breaks to Kevin Campbell. And Bayer Leverkusen have taken the lead at Wembley Stadium. It's Kevin Campbell who rushes to the Leverkusen fans. It's Dyer who hits it, and he hits the woodwork. Bundled in, no, Janssen can't score. It's cleared on the line. Eric Dyer, so close to an equalising goal, crashes his shot against the crossbar.
Well, what a win for Bayer Leverkusen, who celebrated in front of the travelling supporters of Wembley Stadium. Let's hear from one of their summer signings, midfielder Julian Baumgartlinger.
We came here with a good situation, but we also knew we can't afford to lose. And so we had a great team effort today, and yeah, we're really happy. So I think we also were a little bit lucky at times. Maybe a possible penalty, and also the free kick was close. So, but I think we really kept fighting 90 minutes and also had a good plan. We had our chances, and yeah, it was just small things, but we did good today.
Richard, our commentator for the game. What impressed me about Leverkusen actually bit was as well their defensive ability. I mean, they had Spurs pretty contained.
Yeah, I mean, they had some big news before the match in the fact that their first choice centre halves were fit to play, and Emre Toprak and of course Jonathan Tah did a really good job. It was interesting the way the game developed though, because offensively Tottenham were blunt? Were they blunted, or was it because at the moment they're struggling to create chances and score goals? There were chances for Tottenham, though, in the match. We heard that free kick go against the crossbar from Eric Dier. There were one or two other possibilities for them, but it was a deserved win for Bayer Leverkusen. And you have to say, even though it wasn't a bad performance from Tottenham, you have to say a pretty tepid one.
And missing Kane, aren't they? I mean, to what extent do you think they're missing Kane?
Missing Harry Kane, missing Toby Alderweireld as well in defence, missing a fit Moussa Dembélé, who went off pretty early in the match as well. So a whole spine of the side missing for Tottenham that have been so effective. Remember, a month ago, this was a side that comfortably beat Manchester City, who, of course, the previous evening in the UEFA Champions League were so good in that second 45 against Barcelona. Tottenham Hotspur, they're not down and out, but now Bayer Leverkusen, they are very much the team who have a stranglehold on that second spot.
Let's hear from the Spurs boss, Mauricio Pochettino.
We were poor. Maybe if we are seeing the stats, they don't deserve more than us, but they were clinical in front of the goal, and we have not too much chance, but the chance that we have, we didn't score. But we were poor. You know, after two games on Wembley, I think that was tough to play both game, and then we lose, and to be critical with us.
Rather honest assessment there from Pochettino. Let's hear from one of Spurs' better players on the night, Dele Alli.
I think this is where we've got to show what we're about, show the character and the belief we've got in the team. You know, all the great teams have been in difficult positions, and it's the way they bounce back and perform after. You know, it's important that we do stick together with the fans and the players as well and the staff. You know, we all work together and make sure we make this right now.
Well, Spurs now go into the North London derby, Richard, at the weekend. What a big game that is, six without a win for them.
And big decision for Mauricio Pochettino, because how fit will Harry Kane be? How important is he? Well, we know.
Do you risk him?
Well, that's it. Do you risk him? Because it's 3 points, and there's UEFA Champions League important. You know, they go to Monaco. They've got to beat Cisco at home. They still have a chance to qualify, but big result for Bayer Leverkusen. They were in a bit of a crisis. They won after going a goal down against Wolfsburg at the weekend. Now they've come to Wembley Stadium. Yeah. They get their first win of the group after three straight draws. Great night for them, but yeah, Tottenham need to pick themselves up quickly. Huge game coming up for them on Sunday.
Yeah, and a huge game on match day five as they go to Monaco next, who are on 8 points, 4 points ahead of Spurs after their 3-0 win against CSKA Moskva, who only have 2 points to their name, two goals for Falcao. Monaco, Paul Saffer, are really impressive in the group stage this season.
They have been. I mean, the way they started off Ligue 1 and they've gone off the ball a bit in domestically, they've just kept going ever since that opening win at Tottenham. They have been playing very well. They didn't quite manage to beat Leverkusen, but even then they managed to battle themselves, get a draw. Didn't quite manage to beat CSKA, but again they managed to battle and get a draw away in Moscow. And now they've had this very impressive win today. Falcao with two goals, Jermaine with one. They've been combining pretty well this season. Lots of goals being scored by Monaco this season in France, in Europe, and they've now got a very, very handy lead in the group. They're 2 points ahead of Leverkusen, four ahead of Tottenham, so it's all in their hands, just as they wanted.
Certainly is. CSKA Moskva hosts Leverkusen next. Spurs go to Monaco to keep their UEFA Champions League season alive. Group G, a bit of joy though for another English Premier League team in Leicester City. 0-0 draw at Copenhagen. Phil Blacker was the commentator for this one, and he joins us now. Phil, I mean, if someone could have won that game, who would have nicked it, do you think?
I think on the balance of play, Copenhagen would argue that they deserved to do so. They had more of the attacking threat over the course of the 90 minutes. But Leicester came with a game plan to defend, to keep it tight, look to catch them on the counter. First part of that plan worked brilliantly, and they are still yet to concede a goal, remarkably. Four games now into their debut UEFA Champions League group stage campaign. That defence remains unbreached. There were few alarms, really, over the course of the game. The pick of the saves, one of few saves that Kasper Schmeichel on his return to his national stadium had to make, was right at the end. Good stop to keep out a header from Andreas Cornelius and preserve a point for Leicester City. They didn't really carry too much of a goal threat at the other end. Of course, they would have loved to get the win, which would have wrapped up qualification, made it four wins from four. They do drop points for the first time in the group, but they will still see it, I think, as a significant step forward towards qualification. That can be clinched at home to Club Brugge next time out. The point here means that Leicester's European adventure will continue regardless, because they're guaranteed at least a third place finish in the group. Now, Claudio Ranieri saying afterwards, I think, that it was a positive result, but 10 points, which they're on now, is not good enough. Porto close behind us. still have, though, their destiny in their hands. And he felt they improved, actually, as the game went on. Switched to 4-4-2. We thought that's how they would start. Didn't really play that way until the second half. And Ranieri said he was much more impressed with the second half performance once he'd switched formation, and happy enough with another decent result, another step in the right direction.
Yeah, they're yet to concede in Europe this season, much like the Leicester in the Premier League last season, so good at the back. Let's hear from their manager now, Claudio Ranieri.
I'm happy. The first 20 minutes, 30 minutes wasn't so good for us, but we were waiting this kind of a performance about Copenhagen, push a lot, want to make a lot of crosses, but I think we closed very well the crosses. Schmeichel didn't make any save, just at the final. It was a very great save, but the second half was much better for us. But of course, I wanted to do something more when we go in counter-attack. We had also the chance to score a goal, but I think the draw is okay.
Elsewhere in that group, Phil, there was a win tonight for Porto against Club Brugge. It means Club Brugge are out, and it's Copenhagen-Porto next. I mean, what a big game for the Danish champions to try and go ahead of Porto in the standings.
It's a huge game for them, isn't it? And I think qualification will probably come down to that. You would expect Leicester to get the result that they need at home to Club Brugge, but otherwise it is so open. Porto getting the win only by a solitary André Silva goal. You know, he said how important that was against Club Brugge. They accomplished their mission for the match to claim the 3 points and keep it very much alive. They move on to 7 points. I mean, they're still within striking distance, the point that Claudio Ranieri made, of Leicester City as well. I think the need tonight for points in the game that I was watching was more important for Copenhagen, actually, because of how tight it is between themselves and Porto, than for Leicester City. And as the home side, they'll have been disappointed not to go on and win the game. But equally, positive performance from them again, they will feel that they have a chance of qualification. But it was a no-frills sort of game, this one. We, you know, had all the talk in the build-up of superheroes, Leicester returning to Copenhagen after their Christmas party in fancy dress last year. The land of fairy tales. Could Leicester script another dramatic chapter in this remarkable story? And what we got was a no-frills, gritty 0-0 draw.
Phil, get thinking about your man of the match. So you have to pick someone from that game. Copenhagen with the 0-0 draw against Leicester City. Leicester host Club Brugge next to secure their place in the round of 16. Porto go to Copenhagen. Paul, Group F, Borussia Dortmund into the next round after a 1-0 win against Sporting. Adrian Ramos with the only goal. And Dortmund doing it despite the number of injuries that they've had domestically and in Europe this season.
And not just injuries, because of course the big news in Dortmund before kickoff was Aubameyang was left up for what Dortmund described as internal reasons. Aubameyang watching the stands for a bit, left well before the end of the game. No one quite knows what the situation is. Dortmund talk about how he'll be back for the weekend, no problem. But they did just about manage to beat Sporting, but Sporting were more than their equal, really, and quite unfortunate to lose. And Dortmund will be very relieved to be through, the only team from Wednesday night's groups that have actually gone through. But as you say, they are, though Ramos himself, he's got a tremendous record in the UEFA Champions League. It's his first start. He already had about six goals from, I think he was averaging a goal every 15 minutes. Having scored in that game, having scored in this game, actually it's gone down a little bit.
The average has dropped.
The average has dropped, but he's got them the win, he's got them through, and Dortmund can sort of start to turn their attention a little bit back toward the Bundesliga, where, again, things aren't quite going as they would like.
Yeah, Adrian Ramos with the only goal of the game. Meanwhile, the other game in that group played in Warsaw. Legia 3, Real Madrid 3. Real Madrid went 2-0 up. Bale, Benzema. Legia pulled it back to 2-2. Ojija Radovic. Then Legia went in front late on. Moulin with a goal. But there was to be a late goal back for Real Madrid to make it 3-3 through Mateo Kovacic. Let's hear from one of Madrid's scorers on the night, Gareth Bale.
The most disappointing thing is we didn't win the game today. We're disappointed about the result, but we need to be better next game. We need to bounce back from this, and I'm sure we will. I think we had the control of the game, and I think just maybe lost concentration and maybe thought the game was over. And yeah, this happens in football. If you don't finish teams off, they'll come back to bite you. And now we need to learn from this. We need to bounce back now, and I'm sure we'll come back stronger.
I think Gareth Bale thinks they need to bounce back. They said it a few times, and he's absolutely right. Real Madrid are now 2 points behind Dortmund, who are into the next round. Real Madrid aren't quite there. But my word, I mean, a great situation for Borussia Dortmund now to win the group.
They are, yeah, because of course they're 2 points ahead of Real Madrid. So probably if they can get a draw in that remaining game, they'll expect to beat Legia, they will have won the group. It will be a decisive match there. But yeah, they've got the group, whereas Real Madrid, first time in 14 years, they've led by two in a UEFA Champions League game and not won. Almost at one stage, like Legia do what Arsenal do and come from two down to win. But still, disappointed from Real Madrid. They're scoring goals at the moment, but there are mistakes creeping in. And also Cristiano Ronaldo maybe not quite on his game at the moment, still stuck two away from his 100th European goal.
Certainly is. Group F, Dortmund have 10 points through. Real Madrid have 8 in second. Not quite through because Sporting have 3 and Legia have 1. They are unable to progress in the UEFA Champions League. Sporting hosts Real Madrid next. Legia go to Borussia Dortmund. Finally, Paul, Group H. Sevilla, 4-0 win over Dinamo Zagreb. Vieto, Escudero, Unzonzi, Ben Yedder on the score sheet. It looks like they won't be able to defend the UEFA Europa League, but I don't think they'll care too much.
No, as you say, they've won it 3 years in a row, the UEFA Europa League. They still mathematically can finish third in the group. Mathematically, Lyon can still finish above Sevilla and UA can finish above Sevilla. And Sevilla could finish third and go back in the Europa League. But it looks almost certain like Sevilla heading through, and it's only a question of whether they stay ahead of Juventus to win the group. Everything went for them today. Dinamo Zagreb ended up with 10 men as well, had a player sent off just before half time. They're now out of contention, and it's another miserable UEFA Champions League campaign for Dinamo Zagreb, really. No goal scored, 12 conceded. Sevilla, they only had 2 goals actually before today. They're now up to 6. They've tripled their total in one night.
They certainly have, and they've been great to watch so far this season. Juve 1, Lyon 1. Tolisso with a late equaliser after Higuain's first half penalty. Great result for Lyon, and it gives them a slim chance of getting through to the round of 16. Sevilla have 10 points, Juve have 8. Lyon have 4. Dinamo Zagreb are yet to get off the mark. Juve go to Sevilla next. That's the big one, really, probably to decide who's going to win the group. Lyon travel to Dinamo Zagreb. Okay, time for Man of the Matches. Paul will get your outstanding player from Tuesday's games in a moment. Richard, Man of the Match from Wembley.
I find it quite an easy decision, really. It's going to be the youngster in the Bayer Leverkusen defence, Benjamin Henrichs. What a talent.
He played anywhere.
He played at right back tonight when they met 2 weeks ago. He played at left back. Apparently, he was a number 10 as a youngster playing in the German underage teams. You know, he seems to have a real maturity about his game. Tonight, he had to come up against 2-3 different players. I mean, Heung-Min Song played the majority of the game down the left-hand side. Hardly got a touch of the ball, completely contained by Henrichs. Really impressive performance. Watch out, he's going to have a big, big career.
Phil Blacker, Man of the Match, quick one.
Difficult one. No individual really stood out, but I'll give it to Danny Drinkwater for his all-round contribution for Leicester.
Paul, outstanding player from Tuesday.
Honourable mention to Griezmann, but I'm giving it to Kevin De Bruyne for inspiring City's win against Barcelona.
OK, gents, good work. That's all we have time for on Match Day Live. Brilliant Match Day 4. Tuesday, Manchester City shocking Barcelona. Pep Guardiola masterminding that win. Bayern secured their qualification through to the next round. And on Wednesday, Leicester got a little bit closer with that 0-0 draw at Copenhagen. Leverkusen, stunning winners at Wembley against Tottenham. And, of course, there were Match Day wins for Benfica, Atletico, Arsenal, Paris Saint-Germain, Monaco, Sevilla, Porto and Borussia Dortmund. Will be back on Tuesday the 22nd of November and we'll bring you coverage of Sevilla, Juve and Arsenal against Paris Saint-Germain on the Wednesday. But for now, on Match Day Live from Paul Saffa, Phil Blacker, Richard Kaufman and myself, Rob Daly, it's goodbye.
Campbell into the feet of Arangis, going to get the shot away. It breaks to Kevin Campbell and Bayer Leverkusen have taken the lead at Wembley Stadium. It's Kevin Campbell to the Leverkusen fans.
Gonzalo Higuain, the most expensive South American footballer of all time. It's Higuain, he slots it in. Gonzalo Higuain from the penalty spot. And Juventus lead Lyon by a goal to nil.
Alaba with a pass, who picks out Lewandowski. And from point blank range, Robert Lewandowski with his right foot steers it past Pazvir into the back of the net. And Bayern have come from behind to lead 2-1 at PSV.
Jesus Navas with the cross, Aguero, Gundogan! Yes for Manchester City! They've scored again, and it's that man, İlkay Gundogan again! He couldn't miss from all of 2 metres out. How they've turned this around!
You've been listening to UEFA Champions League Match Day Live.